Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from Luke 4. And we're going to be focusing on these words that Jesus himself is speaking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Will you join me in prayer? Lord God, Heavenly Father, again, how wonderful it is to gather in person and online to hear your word, the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit to work through this good news, to work faith in our hearts, and may that faith flow out in love toward others. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we are beginning a new series called I Bring You Good News. And I'm not going to beat around the bush here. This series is about evangelism. Now, when you hear that word, what pops into your mind? Is it a street preacher standing on the corner of the street, dressed in rags, holding a sign that says the end is near, shouting through a bullhorn that you need to repent or you're going to hell? Is that evangelism? Maybe. Or maybe you think of the late Billy Graham, standing in front of a podium and a microphone, and he is in a stadium that is packed with thousands of people, and he is just vigorously proclaiming the good news. Is that evangelism? Maybe. Or how about this one? There's the pastor and the evangelism team going door to door, ringing doorbells, and handing out pamphlets to whoever opens the door. Is that evangelism? Maybe. Or maybe you think of evangelism as some kind of tense conversation that you're in. Tense because you are sitting across from a neighbor or a coworker, and you know you're starting to talk about some really deep things here, and it's getting tense, and you're just like, how can I, you know, shoehorn Jesus into there so this conversation doesn't sound like I'm crunching gears in the car? Is that evangelism? Maybe. I just find it ironic that we are the evangelical Lutheran church. And yet, when we hear the call to share the gospel with others, these not-so-good images pop into our minds, and we have a less-than-enthusiastic response. And why is that? Well, as I thought about it this week, I came up with two reasons, two suggestions, really. And the first one is that we tend to focus on the others that we are actually called to share the good news with. And when that happens, the barriers start to come up. We start thinking, I can't share good news with that person. I mean, look at the yard sign in their front yard. Nope, not gonna do it. Or you start thinking, well, how can I share the good news with someone when, you know, I'm doing pretty well, you know? Got a home, got a nice car, got a job, and yet the Lord's calling me to share it with someone who is homeless or destitute. Or you start thinking, you know, we're just not running around in the right circles with each other, you know? It just, you know, paths don't, no. No, that's not it. Or maybe you know someone and you know their faith. They're a Muslim or they're Buddhist or they are atheist or they're none of the above. They're just spiritual but not religious. And you're thinking, how? It's just, you know, it's not there. You see, when we look at others, those that we are called to share the good news, the walls come up. But that's not all we're focused on. No, actually, we also focus on ourselves. And that comes with its own set of barriers. We tend to think of evangelism in terms of skills. You know, I just don't have the training. I don't have the strategies. Or I'm just not gifted at it. So, no thanks. Or we think about the actual message that we're supposed to proclaim here. How do I make it understandable to them? How do I make it palatable to them? So, you know, they won't get upset at me or they won't walk away. Or maybe we focus on our own lives. You're not that good right now, you know. Things are a mess. I'm a mess. It's like the gospel didn't take here, so why should they listen to what I'm saying? So, more than likely, however, is that we're just like, I don't even want to do this because this is my loved one. This is my friend from I don't know how many years. I don't want to break that relationship. I don't want to be the one to do that. So that's what happens. We tend to focus on who we're called to share good news, or we focus on ourselves, and we come to the conclusion, you know what? Evangelism, it's just not for me. Was this what Jesus was focused on when he waltzed into that synagogue in Nazareth on that Sabbath day? Was he focused on the people that he was about to proclaim good news to? Because if he was, whoa, talk about a major barrier there. This was Nazareth. This was his hometown. He knew these people. They knew him. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Joseph's son? Didn't we watch him as a toddler wander around with a bunch of nails in his hand and a hammer in the other? And it was cute. Is that what Jesus was focused on? You know, am what I about to say because of who they are, is this going to be good news to them? Or is this going to enrage them? Or was Jesus focused on his skills? He was like, you know, what stories or metaphors from the ancient world can I like get in here to, you know, make sure that they understand it, and especially make sure that they don't get mad and chuck me off a cliff because of it, you know. Maybe he's focusing on his message, you know. How do I make this palatable so they don't try to push me off? Or maybe he was focused on his life. He was the Messiah, after all. You know, I'm the sinless one. I'm the Son of God. Maybe I need to show them, here's what a really good life looks like. Was Jesus focused on any of that? No. He just simply asked for the Isaiah scroll, unrolled it, scanned its contents, and finally decided to read these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's all he read. And he rolled up the scroll, gave back to the attendant, and then he did what I'm sure every single one of us has prayed at least once in our lifetimes. He preached the shortest sermon ever. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. But when Jesus says this, he's not a street preacher blaring through some megaphone. He's not ringing doorbells. He's not even having a tense conversation with the people in Nazareth. He's making an announcement. An incredible announcement. That the good news that Isaiah was proclaiming would come was here in Jesus of Nazareth. It was an announcement to the captives that he had come to set them free. It was an announcement to the blind that he had come to give them sight. It was an incredible announcement to the oppressed that he was there to liberate them forever. And what Jesus proclaims in the synagogue of Nazareth, it rolls out in his entire life and his entire ministry from that point forward. You know, all these things about proclaim liberty to the captive, sight to the blind, liberty to those who oppressed. He actually did those things. He did. He found a man who was possessed by a demon, an unclean spirit, and he cast it out. He found blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road, who was crying out to have his sight restored, and he healed him. He encountered 10 lepers who were oppressed by their disease, oppressed because of their status in society, and he healed them. But when Jesus makes this announcement, he is not just announcing, "I'm a miracle worker here." No, he is announcing something that is going to be much deeper and far greater than anyone could possibly imagine. There is a woman of the city who is crying at his feet, captive to the guilt and the shame for her way of life. And Jesus liberates her with these words, "Woman, your sins are forgiven." He goes about proclaiming the very word of the kingdom, scattering it like seed and producing fruit. People who actually believe the good news that he proclaims. And then he goes to those who are outcasts in society, people like Levi the tax collector, people like Zacchaeus the tax collector, all of these sinners who are on the margins of society, who the religious people are just, they're looking down at them and shaming them. Jesus sets them free by inviting them to table fellowship with him, freeing them from their shame. But all of this wonderful good news that Jesus brings telescopes into the best good news when he suffers beatings, floggings, mockings, when he is crucified, nailed to a tree and strung up for the whole world to see, and when he dies there and rises again 3 days later. Jesus is the good news to the people of Nazareth. He is the good news to every single person that he impacted in his life on earth. And he is good news for you and for me. How so? We are captive to sin. We are. Put it this way. Is there something that you don't like what you're doing? Something that you wish you could stop? Something that you have tried every day to control it, and yet it controls you? You give in, you hurt others, you grieve God's heart, you break his law, and furthermore, it produces death that you and I cannot avoid. Jesus, he liberates you from all of that through his own death and resurrection. At one time, we were blind in our unbelief. We were conceived and born in sin. We didn't even know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We didn't know God was a graceful, gracious God. But Jesus gives us sight, faith in him, in his love for us, in his salvation that he gives to us. And every day we are oppressed, and you know what I'm talking about here. It feels like every day we just walk around with this burden on our shoulders. Life is just so out of whack. We have fears, we have failings, we have doubts, we have worries, we have addictions, we have all this stuff. And yet Jesus sets us free, because every single thing that you are experiencing was thrown onto his shoulders at the cross, and he died under its weight, and he left it all behind in the empty tomb. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, Jesus, to proclaim good news. Listen to that again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. That sounds like baptism, doesn't it? I love how the Reverend Dr. David Kim, who is the founder of Glocal Mission, a missionary agency that is down in Texas, I love how he puts it. He says, everyone without Christ is a missionary field. But everyone who believes and is baptized into Christ is a missionary by vocation. You see, when you and I are baptized into Jesus, we not only receive liberation, we not only receive faith and freedom, we receive a calling. We are sent to those who are poor to bring good news to them. Jesus. We are sent to those who are captive in their sin and death. We are sent to those who are blind in their unbelief. We are sent to those who are oppressed by all kinds of worries and failures and addictions. We are sent to them with these words, I bring you good news. Jesus, he can liberate you. He can give you faith. He can set you free. That's what evangelism is all about. Because evangelism comes from a Greek word, oikangelion, which literally means to announce good news. But what good news do we actually say to people? Well, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at the words that Isaiah and Jesus announce to find out. But I do pray that all of us are encouraged to simply bring good news to all people. And our laser focus is on Jesus. That he is the good news that you receive and that you share. Amen.